This is part two of the Rise and Shine interview with Katie Spencer and Patrick Hicks from the NSU Financial Office, where they discuss every aspect of the FAFSA you need to know. To hear part one of the interview, visit lakescountry1021.com. And for more information about the FAFSA, visit nsuok.edu/financial aid.
What happens after they submit the FAFSA?
Making sure, another thing when you submit is to add our school code, because you can apply for the FAFSA and it just either stay in limbo or go to other schools, but not ours, or if you transfer too. So if you transfer schools, to add us on there, so that we actually get it.
Can't you add like 10 schools or something like that?
Yeah,
on
you
there?
Can add a good amount of them. But yeah, students will just forget to either add us if they chose later to, you know, include us, or if they're transferring, that is a common one. But then, yeah, once we receive it, as long as we don't need any other documentation, we will package them for what they're eligible for, and then they'll see that on their GoNSU account for them to look at.
And don't worry about if you can't find the school code, because there's a search bar there. And you can start, you know, you're like, I know the school name is this.
Yeah.
And you can start typing it in, and then the automatic drop down.
Yeah, you can search
by name. Yeah, we'll definitely, you can search by name with it. So don't get scared over, I don't know the number. You know?
Right.
So just type in the school name in the search bar.
And then types of degrees and programs that are eligible for federal aid.
Yeah, so you, for the most part, have to be a degree-seeking student, bachelor's, master's. Mm-hmm. We do have a couple doctoral programs at NSU, but it's mostly bachelor's and master's degrees. And they have to be classes that are counting towards your degree. That's another big one that we get, is that students aren't taking classes that are in their degree plan, and federal aid requires that it count.
That's very important.
And so if you're doing a certification, there is one exception. It's a teaching certification called the Alternative Certification, or ACE Institute. But other than that, certifications are not eligible for federal aid.
But that's important to elevate. So the education route, the alternative certification, that is FAFSA eligible?
Yes. They have to do a couple steps. They have to work with our College of Education at NSU, and so that we know they are going to be qualifying as an alternative certification student. And then we have to make some adjustments on our end to their FAFSA, because the incentive for that program is that they can be eligible for subsidized loans as well as unsubsidized as a grad student, because it's a certification for them to be teachers in Oklahoma.
So you were saying sub and unsub loans.
Yes.
To someone who doesn't understand what that terminology means, could you explain what types of financial aid in general is available?
Absolutely. We get caught in our lingo sometimes and I forget. So subsidized loans and unsubsidized loans are the main two that students would be, well, undergraduate students. So let me start there. So undergraduate students are usually eligible for either subsidized or unsubsidized. If they have a super high, it's called student aid index, they may not be eligible for subsidized because that is need-based, while unsubsidized is not. The main difference is that subsidized does not accrue interest until 6 months after you graduate, as long as you maintain half-time enrollment. You get that grace period, so that's really nice. And then unsubsidized does take out interest from the time you take it out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think I knew which one I did.
I usually tell the students, when you think subsidized loans, is loans that the government helps pay with the interest. Unsub, not, the government does not help. They usually get it with that.
But the interest rate is still better for federal loans than your typical private loan.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, it just seems like there would be some game planning with that right there. If you got an unsub loan, you would just want to tackle that guy first.
That's a good point for paying off. For subsidized, it actually will make you take that out first before you dip into unsubsidized, because it is a better deal. But in terms of repayment and, you know, the interest, definitely if you can start paying that off first.
Yep.
And then any changes that students might be expecting soon towards the financial aid or federal student aid?
Yeah. So starting July 1st, there are going to be a couple changes. The Graduate Plus loan for grad students, if you're a new borrower and you haven't taken out a Graduate Plus loan before, July 1st, it will no longer be available to students. So just be sure, if you're doing summer classes and you are a grad student that is eligible for Grad Plus, to apply for it. make sure we get it, and then that it disperses during our first summer disbursement before July 1st. Mm-hmm. Then you have about a 3-year window of what they call legacy provisions or grandfathering, basically. You have 3 years to complete to be eligible for that Grad Plus. And then those that have already taken it out will automatically be into that. But there are some caveats. You have to stay enrolled continuously. Mm-hmm. If you change your program, that can break the grandfathering. Just making sure you're in at least half time, right. Things like that. So that's a big one. Pell Grant, if you're at or over your cost of attendance with scholarships and things like that, you normally in the past you could still get Pell Grant on top of that. That's mm-hmm. going to change. And then loans as well. It used to be as long as you're in half time or more, you get the same amount of loans, whether you're in 12 hours or 6 hours. And now it's going to be based on enrollment. So there's going to be a proration calculation.
So to piggyback off of what she said, the cost of attendance is the amount that's estimated for your attendance of being a student at the school. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're full time, that would be a certain cost of attendance depending on your how many hours you're taking, what program you in, and things of that nature. So the cost of attendance is an estimated guess of how much it would cost to attend school there successfully.
It's not a bill. A lot of students think that those are their charges.
Right.
You see that on there. Because right now, if you're starting in the fall for the first time, your charges won't be on there until mid-July.
Right.
Yeah.
But a lot of students see the cost of attendance and think it's a bill. And so just FYI, if you see that.
It's an estimate.
It's an estimate. It's usually more than what you're actually charged. But that's yes. the most we can offer you in different forms of state,
yep.
Scholarships, and federal aid.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you so much for explaining a little bit more on the financial aid aspect of NSU college life. And I'm sure that this can be kind of crossed with other secondary oh, yeah. education universities
yes,
as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But thank you so much for coming in this morning. We're going to go ahead and get everybody back to the music here on Rise and Shine. I'm Michi.
And I'm Brendan.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.